Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my steadfast brothers and sisters joining us today for Juz 25 of the Quran, where we will be carrying on with our discussion on Surah Hamim Sajda, which we started yesterday. And so the Juz starts with a reference to the knowledge of the hour, and also because this is the closing, literally, we have a page and a half in the 13-line Quran, and then we move on to the next surah, which is Surah Ash-Shura. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by this juz, by ennobling this idea, or affirming this idea of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality of things. That Allah knows the knowledge of the hour, and the nature of fruits, and all that they contain within them, pregnancies, it's all with the knowledge of God. And there's going to be a day when He's going to call out to them and say, where are my partners? Because the mushrikeen believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would delegate some of His power and authority to these partners, meaning that they had some of the knowledge and they had some of the power and they were agents of God, Jalla fil ula, that He relied on. So on that day, He'll ask, where are they? And obviously they're going to be absolutely useless because they have no power and they have no authority. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just speaking about the ungrateful, obstinate nature of man. That if hardship afflicts him, then he's all despondent and full of despair. But when you give him goodness, he has this assumption also that he's somehow deserving of this. That, it's not like something special has happened by virtue of me being given these blessings. I deserve these blessings all along. I'm quite special. God should have always blessed me. The affliction is is unnatural. Whereas me being given everything is a sign that everything is functioning as it should be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about again that when we bless him, he turns away from the signs. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes with this very, very incredible verse, Sanurihim ayatina, we will show him our signs, the hour of majesty, our signs in the horizons and in and of themselves, until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. And is it enough? Is it not enough that your Lord is a witness over all things? Is that not enough? Does that not suffice? Instead, they have all of this doubt, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-encompassing of all things. This is a very beautiful verse that talks about the idea that sometimes if you really ponder, the horizons is easy because you look out into the skies and you see the clouds and the stars and all of these things. But sometimes you have to realize that the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are within yourself. That all of these molecules and cells and all of these things, and your soul, the existence of consciousness, the ability to gain language, your moral sensibilities, there are many things. It's very interesting if you read somebody like Steven Pinker, who's a very prominent Jewish atheist, Jewish in race and atheist in creed, but he has a book called The Blank Slate, where he talks about how human beings are not just empty vessels at birth. Instead, they have these natural sort of inclinations, this primordial instinct to have to do certain things, to feel certain ways. And he can't explain where this comes from. They try to root it in evolution, but it's very difficult to make sense of it all. Evolution is not the all encompassing solution to this problem. So instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the solution. You are our sign. In you are signs that I exist. So look into yourself and maybe you'll come to recognize that through your own weakness and your own contingency that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all. This is the point that Allah Jalla fil Ula is making here. Then we move on to the next surah. This is Surah Shura, the surah of consultation. There's a verse that talks about consultation therein. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with Hamim Ain Sin Qaf, the Huruf Muqatta'at, and then it talks about this idea of revelation, that it preceded and it came to people before, and how enormous and powerful it is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His own power, His majesty, about the angels. And then He speaks about how other people have taken gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He talks back about the Quran again. The Quran has been sent, an Arabic Quran, to warn the mother of all cities, which is Makkah Mukarramah, and those in its vicinity, like Ta'if and other cities, to warn them of the day or gathering in which there is no doubt. There will be a group that will enter the garden, there will be a group that will enter the fire. If Allah had wanted, He could have made you one nation. But He has decided that He will enter whosoever He wants into His mercy. And on that day, or sorry, not just on that day, but the oppressors, for them there are no super protectors and there are no assisters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with this idea of revelation, the power of revelation, why it's there. It's in Arabic, because Arabic is one of the great languages. It is the only language that has the ability to carry the beauty and the eloquence of the Quran. And then what is it for? It's for Ahlul Makkah and the people of the vicinity of Mecca, so that they can be warned of the Day of Judgment. And so it's an incredible exposition of what the Quran is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you go to verse 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He is the creator of everything, and He's created everything in pairs. There is nothing like Him. Laysa kamithlihi shay. That whatever you can think of, God is unlike that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the necessary being. By definition, He has to be in opposition to all that is contingent. Otherwise, the universe wouldn't exist. But the universe does exist. Therefore, a God who is transcendent, beyond all imagination, beyond all thought, beyond all physicality exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of Himself. Laysa kamithlihi shay. That's His own definition of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of the tradition, the religion of Islam. The shara'a lakum min ad-deen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this religion the same way the religion was given to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was given to Ibrahim and Musa and Isa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the point about remaining steadfast and not dispersing and not being disunited. And aqimud deen, that you establish the religion, wa la tatafarraqu fi, and don't dispute therein. We're in these incredible nights on the cusp maybe of Laylatul Qadr. We know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was caused to forget Laylatul Qadr by virtue of a dispute that he saw between the companions. Disputation leads to the removal of mercy. And in unity is what leads to and encourages further stability and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks again about this, the notion of disputes. وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاهُمْ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. About people before who broke into sects and had disputes amongst themselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلِذَلِكَ فَدْعُوا. For this reason call, وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. And remain steadfast like you have been commanded. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Do not conform to your desires. And say that I believe in Allah with all that He has sent from the book. And then and the verses carry on. وَأُمِرْتُ لِعَدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Be commanded to be just among you. Allah is our Lord and your Lord, etc., etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people who dispute with Him. He speaks about the book. The nature of the book has been revealed. The book and the scale. It's very interesting. The book and the scale. Why is that interesting? Because the book comes in order to establish the scale of justice. Therefore, the book will always come with the scale. And Surah Ar-Rahman will speak about that again. And then Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. Allah is incredibly compassionate and subtle with His slaves. He gives them sustenance as He wishes. He is the power of the strong, the invincible. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people, farmers, many times in the Quran. What's very interesting, that this is a Makki surah, but it talks about farming, because maybe people in Medina would read it. But when there's many metaphors the Quran uses, but two very interesting ones are farming and trade. It talks a lot about trade, buying and selling and successful trades, rabihat tijaratuhum, and things like that. These are things that the people of Mecca would understand because they were people of trade. And at the same time, it uses these metaphors of agriculture, like this one here that we're looking at in verse 20. That whosoever intends for the harvest of the hereafter, then we increase them in that harvest. And whosoever desires the harvest of the dunya, then he will be given from that. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. And he will have no portion of the hereafter. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you seek the akhirah, Allah will give you more of it. And if you seek the dunya, that's all you're going to get. The Shaykh Abdul Hakim Murad, Hafidhullah, speaks many times, quoting Shaykh Izyas Kandahlawi, Rahmatullahi Ali, the founder of Jama'at al-Tabligh, that there are people who seek the dunya, so the dunya is what they get. And then he says, be very worried, because the dunya is not, it's a very scary thing. If all you have is dunya, then ultimately that is damnation. So you don't want dunya. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, الدنيا ملعون والملعون ما فيها. The dunya is cursed and everything therein is cursed, except what? The remembrance of Allah and that which pertains to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about these people who are completely and utterly encapsulated or infatuated, sorry, by the dunya. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of the garden and the people of oppression. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I wanted to move to the next section. He's speaking about the nature of His word and how it will establish itself and how He forgives all sins. And only those who believe and do good deeds, they're the ones who accept all of this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a very interesting verse 28:7, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا لِعِبَادِهِ. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expanded His risk for all His slaves. Some people there's a few verses in the Quran, because I have an interest in economics. Why is it that there is this sort of imbalance in economic prosperity? Why is it that certain people are very successful? Without going into deep philosophy and trying to really unpack economic systems, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that if you give everybody rizq, then there would be people who would cause corruption upon the earth. That not everybody is made to have money, not everybody is made to have authority and wealth. And also, there is this idea the Quran will always reference that is on humanity to balance that, to make sure that wealth doesn't fall out of hand, that doesn't fall into hands that don't deserve it, who will then use it in order to enact further oppression and injustice upon humanity. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed such that everybody gets the portion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give. And Allah is all-knowing of His slaves. And sometimes you lose hope of the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He reveals the rain after you've lost hope and spreads His mercy, and He is the protector and the one worthy of praise. And then it speaks about some of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ, whatever affliction has come to you, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, is because of your own sins, because of what your hands have done. Partly is that you reap what you sow, that if you carry out injustice, then ultimately that system of injustice will come back to bite you. If you lay out traps for other people, don't be worried or don't be shocked when that trap catches you as well. So if you cause, there's a famous line, I don't know, I heard one of the mashaykh mention it, I can't remember who and what it was exactly, about there was this president or something of one of the African countries, maybe it was Mufti Abdul Rahman, and they asked him, do you want to increase the living standards of the prisoners? And he just made this law and he said yes. And then ultimately he ended up in prison. And he said, thank God that what I set up for other people is what I ended up being afflicted by myself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe that's one interpretation. But another is that the sins you commit will come back to bite you. This is very difficult for modern people to understand. God forbid you take any accountability. Every finger has to be pointed at the system and at everybody else and your parents and trauma and this and that. And this is not to deny these things are important, but at the end of the day, the Quran is saying, your affliction is from what your hands did. So accept that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives many people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some of His signs upon the earth, about the seas and about the ships, and then whatever He gives you is from the mata' of this dunya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are people that abstain from the most heinous of sins and vulgarity. And then ultimately when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are very forgiving when they are in a state of anger. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا, that the recompense of evil is evil just like it. We're coming to the end of the surah here. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, I've gone a bit forward, that was an accident. Anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people who turn away from His signs, that those they have nobody that can help them on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Istajibu li rabbikum, submit yourself completely to your Lord before a day comes when there is no escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then there's no escape from these things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Quran, about the nature of revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His power, His dominion. And then He finishes, this is the part that I wanted to finish on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of the Quran as revelation, or revelation itself, that it is not for human beings to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through revelation, or from behind a veil, or that He sends a prophet, and then that prophet is given the revelation. So these are various methods, the ulama of ulum al-Quran speak about these, that these are ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents His revelation and His speech, and speaks to His various slaves. And then we move to the next surah, which is Surah Az-Zukhruf. And Surah Az-Zukhruf starts with Hami wal Kitab al-Mubin, about the clear book, that everything can be found in the mother book, or the clear book, the Ummul Kitab, as the Quran itself calls it. This is the Lawh Mahfuz, all of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is much beyond the Lawh Mahfuz, but it is placed in this Lawh Mahfuz. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how prophets are treated. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of creation, that all of creation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the notion of creation itself. That if you ask the mushrikeen, even they have to admit who created everything, they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some of the things He created, like the earth is spread, all of these paths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. He speaks about the sky and the water and the rain, and He's the one who created everything in pairs. And then there's a dua, the famous dua, we call it the travel dua. about when you ride on the animal, that remember the blessings of your Lord when you're sort of riding stably upon this animal and say, Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha. Glory to God who has given me power over this. Wa ma kunna lahu muqrineen. And I did not have this capability. And ultimately, we will all return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engages with the people of Mecca by saying that when it comes to sons and daughters, that when it comes to these, you want to claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. That you say that they're his daughters, like the verse says later, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَاثَ, that you make these angels into daughters and women of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. And he's saying, but when it comes to yourself, you want sons. Then what is it, this disconnect? Why can't you be consistent in what you say? And then they say things like, لَوْ شَاءَ الرَّحْمَنُ مَا عَبَدْنَاهُمْ, if the Rahman wanted, we would have worshipped him, or we wouldn't have worshipped him. Meaning that they're putting all of this in the blame of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they say that this is what we took from our forefathers. So these are some of the contentions that the mushrikeen have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately says, فَانْتَقَبْنَا مِنْهُمْ, we took vengeance from them. So see what is the result of people who reject the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these are people mutrafuha, these are people of authority and aristocracy and culture and tradition, and they claim and they harken back to this tradition whenever they are called to Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his story. And it says that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to his father, to his family, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ, that I am completely free from that which you worship, except for the one who created me. And then so the story starts with him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about one of the contentions that the mushrikeen have, that why wasn't this Quran revealed upon a man from the two big cities? So somebody of honor and dignity, they're trying to decry the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for being somebody who's from a tribe that maybe is not so militarily powerful and not so wealthy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we distribute how we want, and we do this. So how are you? And they say, wa rahmatu rabbika, the mercy of your Lord is better than all of that which they can attain. The wealth is meaningless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides who the people of honor are and who the people of dignity are. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about why he hasn't given the mushrikeen all the wealth, and why he hasn't, because he wants there to be a disparity between the people, and for there to be a test in the wealth that he gives and the poverty that is given, so that if it wasn't, otherwise he would have given the kuffar all the wealth, because wealth is meaningless to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he's worried that everybody would just believe in them because of the fickle nature of the human being. And this is the idea of the zukhruf, this sort of adornment of the dunya that people gravitate towards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning, at the end of verse 35, وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and the hereafter is better for those people of God consciousness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people that will come on the day of judgment, and they will say that they will have this devil, that they are people, anybody who turns away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are given this devil who becomes their close companion. And then he does all of these things. This is very intriguing. And if we had time, we'd spend time with this verse. But he's being a barrier, depriving him of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the while he's imagining that they're on guidance. At the end, he realizes what's happened, but it's too late. He wishes distance from this companion, but the companion has done the damage. And so this is the idea of the devil companion that I've put in the notes. Then the next Quran starts with a brief discussion on Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. That Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came to Fir'aun and the Mala', these people of authority, and said, I am a prophet from the Lord of the cosmos. And then they laughed at his signs. And then every time Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came with more signs, until they said, call the magicians. And then he made all of these claims. This is Pharaoh. You see, the story of Pharaoh comes up again and again. He says, do we not have dominion of Egypt? And all of these rivers and all of this agricultural wealth, I'm better than him. He's all disgraced. And so he's making all of these claims. And the people believed him because he managed to dupe them. And then at the end, فَأَغْرَقَنَاهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, we drowned every single one of them. And they became a sign and a point of pondering for the people that came after them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and his attempt to call his people, and the nature of him being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how people reacted to the information about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah subhanahu wa innahu la'ilmun lis-sa'ah, and one reading of this, wa innahu la'alamun lis-sa'ah, that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be a sign of the end of times. So don't have any doubt and follow me. Hada siratu mustaqim. This is the clear path. And then afterwards, say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how people disputed with regards to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and following his message. And then the discussion at the end will come to this day of judgment. That when the day of judgment comes, and it comes very suddenly and unexpectedly, and suddenly people who were bosom companions, very close friends, are now all enemies of each other except the muttaqeen. Ya ibadi la khawfun alaykum al-yawm wa la antum tahsanun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no fear for you today, and there's no need for you to worry. But you have to be people who what? Who believe with our signs and who have accepted everything. Enter Jannah. And then just recline therein and just have a good time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of Jannah, about the gold and the silver and the goblets and all that the eye wants and all of the delights of the nafs, and that you're allowed to really just unleash in Jannatul Firdaus. And all of the fruits, and then it talks about the people of Jahannam who are just being tortured, and it was them who tortured themselves. And they asked Malik, Malik, come, to let cause our Lord to liqdi alayna rabbuk, let the judgment begin. And they're just waiting. Abramu amran fa inna mubrimun, all of these verses, and this is where the surah comes to a close, speaking once again about the power and dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until we come to the next surah, Surah Al-Dukhan. In Surah Al-Dukhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dukhan meaning smoke, he starts with a discussion about Laylatul Qadr. Again, very pertinent to our these nights of Ramadan that we're in. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakatin, inna kunna mundhirin. That indeed we revealed it, i.e. the Quran, in the blessed night. And indeed we are the warners. فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. All of the decisions are now dispersed on this blessed night. أمر من عندنا, a decision made from us. إنا كنا مرسلين, we are the ones who sent the prophets, the one, the sender of the prophets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this incredible thing, which is Laylatul Qadr, and how all of this, and one of the meanings of Laylatul Qadr is the night of the decisions, the night of decree, where all of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enacted in the angelic presence. Then the verses talk about the Dukhan. And there's some interpretations of what is this smoke that's being spoken about. One is that it's from the signs of the Day of Judgment. فَالْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. This Dukhan, this clear Dukhan, this clear smoke, one is that it's the sign of the Day of Judgment, the smoke that will come. A second interpretation is also that this is to do with the Quraysh of Mecca, when they reject Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes them to have famine and drought and agricultural struggles. And part of these struggles is that everywhere they look, all they see is this smoke that they see in front of them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam again, and the Pharaoh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Pharaoh to not be this oppressor upon the earth, and then he told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to escape with the Bani Israel in the night, and they were being followed, and they crossed the river, and the army of Pharaoh was completely and utterly drowned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this incredible line in verse 29, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ, that the sky and the earth did not cry over them, nor were they given a chance in order to, given respite. And then ultimately, and this is the idea that if a pious person passes away, then it rains. And the rain should be seen as a weeping of the heavens in missing the absence of this person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about death, various people and the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything with purpose. And then right at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some of the punishments in the hellfire and some of the rewards. So he speaks about the zakum tree and all of these things and the boiling water. And then he speaks about Jannatul Firdaus, about the clothes and about the beautiful embroidery that the people will be wearing on the Day of Judgment. And at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the surah to a close. Then our final surah for today to look at very briefly, Surah Al-Jathiyah. So Surah Al-Jathiyah, referring to the Day of Judgment, where every nation will be brought to its knees. This is the kneeling of the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very quickly, will just go through this. And obviously, Surah Al-Jathiyah will finish just 25 for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the revelation of the Quran, about some of the signs of His power and His majesty, and about people who spread rumors and slander and the punishment that they're going to have. So it starts with this idea of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second ruku' carries on with that theme about the earth and the sea, and that all of this has been ordained so that people can seek the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it speaks about the Bani Israel, what they were given. They were given the book and the wisdom. and the prophethood and all of this pure sustenance, and they were given preference over everybody. And all of these signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, and out of just obstinance and rebellion, they rebelled against everything. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the misguidance and the treachery of these people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some more of his signs. And so why is it all done? In order so that he can hold to account the people who have oppressed themselves. What is it, this oppression? أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهُهُ هَوَى. Have you not seen the person who has taken his ego as his God? And it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completely misguided him and just placed these seals over his ears, his hearing and his heart, and placed a veil over his eyes. And nobody can guide him after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will you not take heed? And all they believe, these are very sort of atheistic people, they deny everything except what? They say the only thing that destroys everything is time. And so they're very materialistic, they don't believe in the notion of there's another world outside of this world. They reject the metaphysical, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. And then whenever they come with signs, they reject the signs. They say, bring our forefathers if you're going to bring anything, if you're indeed truthful. And ultimately they'll be gathered on the day of judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his own power once again. The day of judgment is spoken about, the day when the evildoers will be losers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you'll see every nation on its knees on that day. And every nation will be called towards his book, and everybody will be given the judgment as pertains to them. And our book on that day will speak the truth, and it will just unveil everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the good doers that will enter the garden, and the evil doers will be, there's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be true, and ultimately they will face this judgment. And everything that they did that was evil will be unveiled in front of them, and all of their mockery will be destroyed. And then they'll say, وَقِيلَ الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ. You forgot us. They'll say, we forgot you. Today you are forgotten people, just like you forgot the meeting of this day, and that your final abode will be the hellfire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just reasserts once again his power and dominance over all of creation. I'm really sorry for this one, because it was very difficult. I have no idea, now that we have these quick surahs coming in, how we're going to be able to just fly through it. We're going to try, inshallah ta'ala, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had the shura, the verse of shura, which we didn't have time to even go into, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructed to do consultation. The conduct of people, the nature of souls, the denial of many, many people, company of devils and other such things, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the nature of the rejection of the people of rejection. And our verse for today is this. It's quite interesting. We don't have time to spend on it, but it's just this idea that the claim of the mushrikeen, the polytheists, the materialists, is that وقالوا, they say, ما هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا. There is nothing here. There is nothing here. ما هي. There is no, this whole pronoun is negated. There is no existence except the life of the dunya, our life of the dunya. نموت ونحيا. We live and we die and we live. وما يهلكنا إلا الدهر. Nothing destroys us except the passage of time. وَمَا لَهُمْ بِذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. But they don't know anything. إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. These are just fanciful notions they have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating this materialistic atheism, where people deny the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supernatural, the otherworldly. They just say there's only this dunya, and that's all it is. And that's why they're completely enamored by it, just constantly just engulfing their desires, thinking that time is the only thing that exists. They think time is God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith, لَا تَصُبُّ الدَّهَرُ. Don't swear at time, فَإِنِّي أَنَا الدَّهَرُ. Because I am time. What is time? Time is this illusion of change. Or this illusion, it's this social construct that we place upon change. We see things change and we start saying that happened 5 minutes ago. But what is time really? It's just change. And where does change come from? Well, something causes that change. And ultimately that change causer is the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then any assertion anybody makes of any authority or agency beyond the dunya as it is, then that person is just speculating, it's just fanciful notions, it's just conjecture. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to carry on and finish our reading of the Quran together, inshallah ta'ala. And inshallah we'll see each other tomorrow for our reading of the 26 juz of the Quran, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.